Well, before we begin our Torah study, let's pray together. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshenu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who sanctifies us with his commands and commands us to engross ourselves in the words of Torah. Amen. This week we're reading about lepers and a variety of other things. One of the folk names for Messiah was Leper Messiah. Some thought he would actually be a leper, and others thought he would care for lepers, and some thought he would be treated like a leper. At the time of Yeshua, many expected that the Messiah would heal lepers, and that, in fact, was one of the proofs that Yeshua gave about who he was, because he did heal the leper. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the lame. He raised people from the dead. And he verified through, as Luke calls it, many proofs of who he is. Now, a story about lepers is read from the Haftorah this week. Here's the background to the story. The king of Aram was warring against Israel, and at one point his army was laying siege to the city of Samaria. And Aram, by the way, was a kingdom in what is now Syria, and it included the city of Aleppo. How many of you have followed some of the news about some of the terrible destruction in Aleppo during this Syrian war? So Aram is that kingdom that was in part of what is now modern Syria, and they laid siege to the city of Samaria, a Jewish city, part of Israel. And you know, when we talk about the West Bank today, we're talking about Judea and Samaria, two regions. Samaria is a northern region and Judea is a southern region. Together, many in the world call it the West Bank. So this is talking about something that happens in the city of Samaria, in the region of Samaria, just to locate it. And Aram, the king of Aram, is fighting Israel, and he's laid siege to the city. That means nothing can go in and nothing can go out. It was one of the ways of doing war, so that the people would starve. They would get so hungry that they would surrender. And they would even overthrow their own government because it couldn't protect them, so that they could surrender. This siege caused a famine in Samaria, so food was scarce, and it was very expensive. And as we read in the scriptures, there were even reports of cannibalism during the famine. It was awful. During the time of the siege, there were four lepers, and because of their uncleanness, they were outside the city gates. They were not allowed to come in, and they were isolated from everyone else. They were separated from everyone, and they also were hungry, and they had nowhere to go. They were between a rock and a hard place. There was the army laying siege, and there was the city that wouldn't let them in because they were unclean, and they were outside, nowhere to go. And so they decide it's probably the best idea to surrender to the army of Aram. And that's the background. So you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 7. We'll be reading from the Haftorah portion, starting in verse 3. These four lepers say to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. And if they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, then we die. So for sure, if we stay here, we will die. If we try to go into the city, we'll die because there's no food. They may even eat us. Who knows? Probably not going to eat lepers. If we surrender, they may kill us too. but they may let us live. And if they let us live, we get food. So they're thinking, we have nothing to lose by surrendering. So verse 5, at dusk they got up, they went to the camp of the Arameans, and when they reached the edge of the camp, no one was there. Because, look at this, verse 6, the Lord had caused the Arameans to hear the sound of chariots and horses and a great army. And so they said to each other, look, the king of Israel has hired the Hittite and Egyptian kings to attack us. And so they got up and they fled in the dusk and abandoned their tents and their horses and their donkeys. They left the camp as it was and they ran for their lives. So in fact, the Lord did a miracle. He caused them all to hear a sound that they interpreted in the wildest of ways. They heard a noise. You thought you could get scared in the middle of the night. Maybe you've had nightmares or something like that. These are all trained soldiers, and they are terrified of what they're hearing, and they convince themselves that they know what's going on. They're quite sure the Hittite and Egyptian kings are coming to rescue Israel, and so they all run away. They leave their horses. They didn't even get on their horses. They didn't even take the donkeys. They ran for their lives. The men who had leprosy, this is verse 8, reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents and ate and drank, and then they took silver, gold, and clothes, and they went off and they hid them. Yeah, because they're thinking, let's get this stuff while we can. Who knows what's going to happen next? They returned, entered another tent, took some things from it, and they hid them also. And then they said to each other, this is such an interesting point. What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news. Say good news with me. Good news. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. And if we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace. Verse 10, so they went, they called out to the city gatekeepers and told them, we went into the Aramean camp and no one was there, not a sound of anyone, only tethered horses and donkeys and the tents left just as they were. So the gatekeepers shout the news and it was reported all the way up to the palace. The king got up in the night, he said to his officers, I'll tell you what the Arameans have done to us. They know we're starving. So they left the camp to hide in the countryside, and they think those Israelites will surely come out, and then we'll take them alive and we'll get into the city. One of his officers answered, hey, have some men take 5 of the horses that are left in the city. And maybe the king frowned or said, you know, I was thinking, well, this won't be fair. It's certain death for these guys. And so the officer says, hey, listen, their plight's going to be like all of us left here. Yeah, they'll be like the rest of us who are doomed. Let us send them and at least find out what happened. Because this one officer is saying, if they stay here, they're going to starve to death. So they're dead. Count them as dead. They're casualties already. But if they go, maybe they'll be killed. Probably. Maybe not. Almost the same thinking as the lepers, right? Like, it's fair, you know, it's reasonable. So they selected 2 chariots with their horses. The king sent them after the Aramean army, and he commanded the drivers, go and find out what has happened. And they followed them as far as the Jordan. They found the whole road strewn with the clothing and the equipment the Arameans had thrown away in their headlong flight. So the Arameans, who are being chased by no one, are running from their own fear. And they are getting hot. They're taking their clothes off. They're taking off their armor and their weapons. They're dropping things so they can run faster and further. The messengers returned and report to the king. And then the people went out and they plundered the camp of the Arameans. And so a measure of the finest flour sold for a shekel, one coin, and 2 measures of barley sold for a shekel, just as the Lord had said. This goes back to a prophecy that Elisha had given. You can read about it in the previous chapter, where he says, this is going to happen, and it's going to happen just like this, and this is going to be the price. Verse 17, now the king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate. Now, important to know about this detail. That officer was present when Elisha spoke to the king, of Israel and said, this is what's going to happen, and we're going to go from starving one day to having plenty of food the next day. And he was exactly precise in the prophecy. This is how much wheat is going to sell for, wheat flour. This is how much barley flour is going to sell for, and it's going to happen by tomorrow. And the officer that aide to the king said, yeah, right. If the Lord would open up the floodgates of heaven, this wouldn't even happen. And Elisha says to him something like this, oh, it's going to happen, but it won't be good for you. You're not going to be able to eat any of it. And so that's the background to this one detail. The king had put the officer on whose arm he leaned in charge of the gate, and the people trampled him in the gateway, and he died, just as the man of God had foretold when the king came down to his house. And it happened, as the man of God had said to the king, about this time tomorrow, a measure of the finest flour will sell for a shekel, 2 measures of barley for a shekel at the gate of Samaria. So when I was reading this, it helped me think about how God was working at that time. The lepers were unclean. They were considered unclean. They were isolated. They weren't welcome inside the greater community. They were separate. They were all alone. They didn't belong. They didn't fit in. And surely they could have felt alienated in that situation. And in their desperation, they decide to surrender to the enemy, and they hope that they'll at least get food, or if not food, a quick death. Then they discover the enemy's fled and these lepers have been saved. And now they have abundance. They have food, they have silver, they have gold, they have good clothes, and they have good news. They're rich and they've got good news. And at that moment, they have this clarity that requires moral courage. The clarity is, what we're doing isn't right. This is a day of good news, and we're keeping it to ourselves. Now, they have clarity, but it requires moral courage, because they could have said, yeah, but who cares? You know, they kicked us out of the city. They treated us like trash. They didn't send us any food. They left us to die. They didn't care that the Arameans were this close. Yeah, I don't care what happens to them. They could have thought that way in their condition, but they didn't. They had moral courage, and they remembered something. They were actually part of the community. They were part of the community of Israel. Even though they were outside, they were part of the community. They think it's not right that we've been saved, but the rest of our people are perishing. We must go tell them the good news. Now, that's what really hit me. God used lepers to tell the good news. He used lepers and only lepers to tell the good news. And when I was reading that, and I was thinking about leper Messiah and all of this, and I was thinking about ourselves, it really hit me that these are the ones that God used to bring good news to the rest of Israel. And think about those details. At first, when they come and they tell the good news, no one believes them. All the way up to the king. The king thinks, oh, you know, this is a trick of the enemy. And then there's this realization, maybe it is good news. We need to find out. But the ones who were rejected, the unclean ones, the ones isolated and outside, in fact, these are the ones that God chose to bring the good news. He didn't choose the mighty ones. He didn't choose the most credible ones. He didn't choose the powerful ones. God chose the lepers. That's what the scripture is teaching us. God chose the lepers to bring good news to the Jewish people there. Now think about how much depended on those lepers. If those desperate lepers had not been outside the city, they would not have been in a position to do what they do. If those desperate lepers had given up on ever being part of the community again and said, it doesn't matter if we even stay here, why stay at the gate? You know, let's just go somewhere else. We can live in the caves by ourselves. We don't need them. They don't need us. If they had withdrawn from all of society and the hope of being reunited with their own people, they never would have been present. If those lepers hadn't remembered the rest of their people, if they had not decided to act courageously for the sake of other people, then no one else would have been saved. If they had been too alienated or too upset or too fearful or too concerned for themselves, they wouldn't have had the insight that it wasn't right for them alone to enjoy their salvation. And if those lepers had been too afraid of rejection, well, they rejected us. Or they'll never believe us, then no one else would have been saved. And all of that really helped me think about ourselves. In the Messianic movement, we're sort of like the lepers. Remember, Yeshua, the Messiah, was treated like a leper, put outside the camp, crucified outside the city by Rome, treated like an outcast, put outside the camp of rabbinic Judaism and all that developed in rabbinic Judaism. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 13 says, let us go to him outside the camp and experience the same reproach he experienced. You know, I think those of us who are Jews and Gentiles in the Messianic movement, we can learn courage from the lepers. God used them. God's using us. If you've got Jewish family that misunderstands you, if your family's not Jewish and misunderstands you, if your friends don't understand you, if people say, what is this crazy thing you're doing? What's happened to you? Why aren't you normal? Hey, you can look at yourself and say, I serve leper Messiah. They might not know what that means either. All of us together, Jews and Gentiles, we belong together to Yeshua, and we can be misunderstood. We can be mistreated. But our own families and friends and original communities may mistreat us, but I want to tell you something. We are part of something great. And we have good news to bring. We have good news for the Jewish people. We have good news for every ethnic group, every people group, every nationality. And if you are afraid to talk to people who might reject you or already have rejected you, then you haven't gotten the chutzpah of the leper yet. And it's time to take a lesson of courage from the lepers and to say, okay, I tell you what, if they could be courageous, I can be courageous. If they can bring good news, I can bring good news. And I can tell you this, every Jewish person who hears the good news of Yeshua and believes will be thankful that you were the one who told them. Every person from any other nation who hears the good news and believes will be thankful that you were the one who told them. They won't forget if God uses you. They'll remember with gratitude. It was the lepers who brought the good news to Israel that day. And so this is what I want to say. Welcome to the leper colony of Messiah. This word for good news in Hebrew is besara, the same root as in Isaiah 61. Remember, Yeshua read from the scroll of the prophet, the Haftorah scroll, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me to proclaim good news." Same basic Hebrew word. It's the same root word in Isaiah 52, verse 7, that says, "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of the one who brings good news, who proclaims good news." The good news of peace and salvation, of shalom in Yeshua, the news that the God of Israel reigns. There's a prophetic theme associated with this idea of good news. This word, this phrase, good news, besara, in Hebrew, is translated into English. You know how? Gospel. Evangelion in Greek, from which we get evangelical, evangelist, and all the roots, all the variants of that. These lepers heard good news. They experienced good news, and they had the faith and the confidence and the hope that enabled them to act courageously, to go back to the very community that had separated from them, and to bring them good news, the good news of what God had done for them. I want to encourage you, take a lesson of courage from the lepers. If you've thought, oh, too much rejection, wake up and say, I come from mighty stock of lepers, without fear. Without fear of rejection or alienation, you can be used by God to tell other people good news. And you can make the difference. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you that if you can use lepers, you can use us. And so we want to open our hearts to you, and we want to ask, give us opportunity to bring good news to our own people, to our families, to our friends, to Jews and people from every nation, that we could declare that the God of Israel reigns and that the Messiah of Israel lives. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you came down from heaven. And though you died, and though you were buried, you rose from the dead. And you took upon yourself every shame, every punishment, everything that we deserved, you took upon yourself in order to spare us and to bring us into your kingdom. Thank you for purchasing us with the blood of Yeshua, our Redeemer. In Yeshua's name we pray. Amen. Let's close with Aaron's blessing. I want to ask you to stand. And y'all are spread out so much. Find someone to stand next to, if you would. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Ya'er Adonai panavelecha v'yichunecha yisar Adonai panavelecha v'yasem lecha shalom. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep watch over you and protect you. The Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his face to you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.